Be comforted by this today on The Balanced Word.
Our Lord Jesus understands completely what you're going through. He knows what it feels like. And in the middle of the depths of David's heart, Jesus took this out, this commitment. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was saying to the Father, this isn't something that's pleasant for me. It's awful. I feel forsaken by you. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But as he hung there and he said, but I commit my spirit into your hands in the same way that David did.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Often we're overwhelmed by the circumstances of life, and that sometimes leads to sorrow and tears. One day, God will wipe away those tears and replace it with a joy that's unspeakable. We're reminded of this glorious reality today on The Balanced Word as we enter Psalms 30 through 32. Pastor Dave Rolfe has some words of encouragement for the brokenhearted that will help free us to be open and honest with the Lord about those things that are hurting us and others. So please join us as we continue our journey through the Psalms with Pastor Dave Rolfe.
Chapter 30 now. He just kind of thanks God for answering his prayers again and talks about how when he cries out to God, God comes through. He says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. God touched him. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave, at least it felt like that, and you've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Have you had that experience? When was the lowest time you've ever had in your life? Well, there might be a couple people in here who say, it's right now. This is the lowest time. But for most of us, we can think back to a lower time than right now. God came through for you, didn't he? He brought you through. He delivered you. He took you out of that. As a result, he hasn't quit. God hasn't retired. He's still at work. And so he goes on to say, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. This was such a big deal to David. David was always saying, sing praises, worship God, give thanks, celebrate. He wrote all these songs himself and gave them to the people and said, learn these songs and begin to sing them. David played musical instruments, encouraged other people to do so as well. Why? Because he had seen what God had done for him. And he understood it's so important to enter into this intimacy with God. It's one of the reasons why David is called a man after God's own heart. If you don't have much use for worship, if you don't have much use for praising and thanking God, if you're just, you think that your gift is mainly telling other people what's wrong, well, I'll tell you one thing about your heart. It's not where God's heart is. David was a guy who appreciated God and wanted other people to as well. He goes on to say, you're my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me up out of the net that they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he lifted this one little quote there in verse 5 from David, into your hand I commit my spirit. As you go on and he talks about how much trouble he was in and how bad things were, many people see this part of this as being messianic. Jesus certainly quoted David at this point, but there are a lot of things here that Jesus couldn't have prayed. You know, like being redeemed. That's not the case with him. And Jesus was never really in trouble. And it wasn't his own sin and everything that happened. But here's the thing that I like about it. Rather than to just try to twist all these verses and say, yeah, they're messianic, they're about Jesus. I like the fact that Jesus looked at a man who was low. He looked at a man who was expressing his heart, the frustration, the depression, the pain and the agony that he was going through. And Jesus took a quote from him to identify with him, to say, believe me, I know how you feel. That's why Jesus became a man not just to die for us. He could have died as a little baby, and I suppose his blood would have paid for our sins. But he wanted to be a high priest who understood what it felt like to be us. And so he lived that life for 30 years, growing up just as a guy working construction, and then dying a horrible death because he wanted to identify with us. And so here, as David expresses his agony and depression, and some of you may be going through tough times right now, or you have recently, where it's just, you feel like you're just, it's all you can do to pick yourself up and drag yourself every day to do what you know you need to do, to go to work, to go to church, to just survive. You feel like, ah, well, I want you to know that our Lord Jesus understands completely what you're going through. He knows what it feels like. And in the middle of the depths of David's heart, Jesus took this out, this commitment. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was saying to the Father, this isn't something that's pleasant for me. It's awful. I feel forsaken by you. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But as he hung there and he said, but I commit my spirit into your hands. In the same way that David did. By now, David probably knows how many times Jesus quoted him, how many times other writers of Scripture quoted him. And can you imagine? David would today be even more adamant of saying, express yourself to the Lord. Be honest with him. Pour your heart out to him. Sing praises to him. You'll never know. It might be something that lasts for eternity. David wrote songs that we will sing in heaven. How much do we say? How much is it that we pour out from our hearts in order for God to go, I heard that. In fact, that came from my heart. Let me quote that. I suspect, and there are some people who put a real effort into expressing themselves. There are some people who are just particularly gifted with language. But I also believe that there may be things. The Bible says that he captures all of our tears and he collects them. And it might be things that we say that strike him as particularly poignant that he says, I like that. I'm going to use that. Imagine David ghostwriting for Jesus himself. I like that. And so he says, I've hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in your mercy because you've considered my trouble. You didn't shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You let me get away. Verse 9, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief. And my years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity. And my bones waste away. Now, Jesus could never say that his strength fell because of his own iniquity, but his strength was failing because of ours, as he took upon himself all of our sins. The truth is, most of what's hurting us is our iniquity, but most of what hurt him was our iniquity as well. He says, I'm a reproach among all my enemies, and especially among my neighbors. You can see that in Isaiah 53 as well. I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Everybody's sick of me. You ever have that feeling? I mean, when everything's going good, people want to hang around with you, but they see you coming and they start to avoid you because they know the inevitable question, how are you doing? You're either going to lie to them and tell them you're fine, or you're going to tell them how you're doing and they don't want to hear it. And David's going, hey, I know what that feels like sometimes. People are just like, nope, don't want to. Sometimes we pray for someone about something for a while and then it's like, I don't even want to ask them how it's going. Hey, did you get a job yet? Feel bad. So it's easier just to avoid the question and avoid the situation. And David's going, I know how it feels to be so lonely because nobody's really wanting to be close to me and deal with what I'm dealing with. Hey, if it wasn't for this phenomenon, there probably wouldn't even be something called, caller ID. it's convenient. It's convenient for us to ignore anyone that we're really uncomfortable talking to. But David is saying, boy, did I feel that way. Even my friends, they're sick of me. Of course, my enemies don't like me. I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'm forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. So what do I do? As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. I like that verse, my times are in your hand. I usually keep it near my calendar and my schedule of all the things I need to get done. It should be written over every plan we make. God, my time, it's in your hands. I would rather do things according to your timing than mine. I'd rather have you be the leader than for me to be the leader. So anything I plan, of course I plan. Of course I organize myself. But at the same time, here you go, God. You can edit it. You can change it any way you want. Make your face shine upon your servant, verse 16. Save me for your mercy's sake. Make your face shine. It's like, smile on me, God. I need to feel your pleasure. I need to feel that I'm okay with you. I've talked before about what a powerful thing it is when we see a little child and we start to smile and it makes them smile. They don't understand what's going on. Believe me, they're not amused by your little jokes and they don't think that your baby accent is cute. They see you smile and they smile. And most of us do that. Unless we're really warped, for someone to smile at us, our first reaction may be, what are you smiling at? But if we know that it's really someone's pleased to see us, happy to see us, it has an effect. And David is going, you know, I don't have any friends left. So God, I need you to smile at me. I need to feel that you are pleased with me. I have news for you. No matter how rough your life is going, no matter how many things you've done that are wrong. In fact, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never come into a relationship with him at all, God is so far away from you, you think, no, he's not. And not only that, he's so close to you, and he's pleased when he sees you. Oh, he may not be happy with everything that we do, but he's smiling on you, even if you don't know him, because he's got a plan. He knows something you don't know. He knows that he is going to save you. He knows that he's going to draw you into his family. He's doing that work. And when he looks at us when we're down and low, when he looks at us when we've been sinning and we're so disgusted by ourselves that we feel like the last person I want to see is God. We're like Adam and Eve hiding in the garden because we're ashamed of ourselves. God already sees us. And not only that, he's pleased with us. He's smiling at us. He just wants to bring us into his joy. He wants to bring us back into a close relationship with him. He doesn't find us and start beating on us. He finds us and pulls us back to himself. You know, if you've ever had a kid run away from home, you get so scared. You can get mad at him later, but really the trick is for a kid who runs away from home, you have to stay away long enough to get your parents really scared. And then they'll actually be glad to see you. They'll forget about all the problems of why you ran away. Now, if you run away and you come back in half an hour, they might be upset with you. But the truth is, I mean, when you lose a kid, I remember the time when Danny was like 2 years old and or less maybe, and he took off, he was riding his little big wheel up and down the street, and we told him he could only go to the stop sign. We were in the middle of moving into a new house, and William was going to keep an eye on him. And so we got busy, and all of a sudden, hey, where's Danny? We're looking all over frantically for him. Go in the house, Will's in there just watching TV. We go, William, where's Danny? Oh, he went past the stop sign, so I couldn't watch him anymore. Poor little Danny, he's pedaling this big wheel, and he goes back to our old neighborhood. Wasn't that far away, but the little guy must have pedaled a mile on a big wheel, and we were freaking out. And believe me, when we finally found him, he's pedaling his little big wheel, and tears are coming down his face. The last thing I thought of is, boy, are you going to get a spanking for going past the stop sign. It's like, man, I'm just glad you're okay. God's that way with us. His grace is so amazing that when we wander away, he still, when he sees us, he just smiles. He's happy. He's glad to see us. He pulls us back to himself. And we ought to know that whenever we mess up, that's his reaction. And David was understanding that. God, I need you to smile on me. Save me. Don't let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. That's fine. Let them be silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be put to silence. David really goes off on the wicked. It's personal. They were always trying to kill him. And then in verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You won't hide them. You'll hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You'll keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You're going to protect your people. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I'm cut off, I'm dead. But you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you." And now his exhortation, "Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." He says, God is good. Enjoy him. Bless him. Be blessed by him. Love him. Everything that God does to us is with the express purpose of getting us to love him. We'll never love him as much as he loves us. But we can begin, the more we see of how he does things, the more we can begin to love him with the love that he has for us. It's this unconditional, incredible, overpowering love. And it's a shame when we get an image of God that basically says God's very mad at you. God's really fed up with you. He wants to crush you. No, all he wants is for you to turn around. Now, the people who continue in wickedness will be crushed. The pride that people have will destroy them. And that's why he hates pride, because he knows that pride destroys you, and he loves you. But God is never sitting there hoping that somebody doesn't repent so that he can really nail them. He's pouring out his goodness. It's his goodness that brings us to repentance. He wants us to turn around so that we can be right with him. Psalm 32, we looked at on Sunday morning. So I'll just point out a couple of things. This is a basic psalm about forgiveness. David, after his gross failure and receiving God's forgiveness, said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." His in denial in verse 3, "I kept silent." Man, it was just groaning. Day and night I was being squashed. My life was getting sucked out of me. But in verse 5, "I gave up. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't hide it. And I said, I'm going to confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And so he said, everybody ought to pray. Everybody ought to repent, because God, you're my hiding place. And then God goes on to say, "I want to instruct you and teach you, but I'll do it by guiding you with my eye. I don't want to use a bit and bridle and yank your head around. If you'll just confess your sins, we're in. All you have to do is see things through my eyes." And ultimately, that's what confession is. It's not saying how sorry you are. It's not even feeling so sorry. Confession is just to say, God, I agree with you. What you say is sin, I say it's sin too. And walking in that confession, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And David was going, this is the key. I just want to see it like you do. I want to admit that what you're saying is true. And in big ways and in little ways, that's the key to walking in a way that we will grow and stop falling into sin. The truth is, like David, we go into denial. Like David, we make excuses for what we do, and truth be told, we're not so convinced that some of the things that we're doing that's destroying us are really sinful at all. I was, after we studied this, I was thinking this week, because sometimes there's something that sounds really good that I know isn't good for me. It's not healthy for me. Like, one of the things is, and every time you get gas, which now is about 3 times a day, you know, every gas station has a store. And there's those Hostess pies. I like the lemons. I like the berries. Berries get in your teeth, so I prefer the lemons. There's ding-dongs and ho-hos and all. It's just like a veritable feast of death. But, you know, this week I started thinking, you know what? I can laugh about it and joke about it. But the truth is, if I walk in there and eat those ho-hos, that's a sin. I believe that God would say, for you to put something like that in your body. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin for you. But I have to watch my blood sugar, and as a result, it could be something that's very bad for me. Now, it's kind of deceptive because just eating one thing of ho-hos isn't going to kill me. It's probably not even going to raise my blood sugar that much. But over a path, it's going to make me fat and dead. And so I was at the gas station, and I was like looking at those ho-hos, and you kind of feel them. Sometimes they're all crusty, but sometimes they're really fresh, and it's like, oh, man, these are the prime. These are almost worth sinning for? No, it's not. It's worth, you know, I used to convince myself that, hey, I'll just run an extra 15 minutes on the treadmill in the morning and that'll take care of it. But I finally had to just say, you know what? This is sin. Now, not every time maybe, but I knew it. I just go, here it is. I am going to take something and eat it. And I know that it's something that is destructive to me. And that's the definition of sin. Doing something that's destructive to you or someone else. God defines sin that way. And so I had to go. And it sounds kind of funny because it's like, oh, come on. It's okay. We all eat stuff. And we always like to joke about this. But this is just personal. I'm just sharing this with you. For me, I had to go, if I eat these things right now, it's a sin. Pure and simple. Amazing thing this week, I haven't really been craving them much. Oh, it's a great comfort food, but I haven't found that I really needed it because I came to terms with God by saying, I know this is wrong for me. There have been a few times this week when I was just driving faster than I should. Now, I'm not a legalist, and of course, every time I've gotten in my car, I've driven faster than the speed limit, but it was one of those things where it was like, I'm getting to the point where I think this is a sin. To drive, you know, 85 or 90 on the toll road just because I'm late to the radio program or whatever. And I just felt like, you know, I think God's going to get me there. And this isn't right. This is a sin. And when you admit it, it's amazing how God gives you victory over it. And that's the key.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now let's finish up today's message. Here once again is Pastor Dave.
If we all look at our own lives and go, you know what, I want to agree with God, what happens? If you agree with Him, He changes you. He actually changes your desires. And so in whatever area you might be struggling with, it starts with get out of denial. At least admit what you're doing isn't right. Admit it's a sin. Now, if you want to argue about whether anything that you're doing is a sin, fine. I'll tell you this. I mean, and many of you I don't know that well, but I can tell you one thing about yourselves. You guys sin every day. Every one of you does. Now it's up to you to go to the Lord and find out what it is you did today that was a sin. And when He tells you, admit it. Admit it was wrong. If you don't, You start living this split personality where you're playing games with yourself. You think you're fooling yourself just because you can fool others. You don't fool God either. And even if there's an area of your life that you know is a sin and you haven't been able to stop it, it's habitual and it's destructive, at least admit it's a sin.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God, you've been listening to The Balanced Word. We'll pick up where we left off in the Psalms next time. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my